Okay, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Exactly 8 p.m. So we will commence our class. So today is 27 January 2022, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 179, second paragraph. Just relax body and mind, then I'll off the light and we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation as usual. Just remember the four support. Relax into every mind state, your body and mind. Be at ease. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can. And finally, when you can stabilize the inner awareness, you silence everything and stay with your object of meditation. Or if you're already able to feel your heart area, stay at the heart area. Silence everything and maintain awareness there. Then when that nature stabilizes, it will detect the gateway to your nature. So that may take a while, quite a bit of training with the faith and understanding. Then as your heart area opens up, with the ability of your awareness nature to locate the gateway, then you let that nature develop the movement by itself. That is what we call the fourth support, trust. Trust that nature to do the meditation. Do not interfere with the thought or the memory. Just let things be. Whatever arises, let it arise. Whatever happens, let the awareness nature move by itself. Then you silence everything, maintain awareness as a weakness, choiceless awareness, witnessing everything that happened. And through that, you will insight into phenomena, develop understanding, develop wisdom. You will come to understand who are you, what are you, how you actually arise as a human being. You will see clearly the movement and functioning of mind, your thought process, your mundane mind. So through all this, you develop self-knowledge, you develop understanding. This is what vipassana or awareness-based meditation is all about. When you meditate with awareness, the awareness nature will let you understand, let you see things as they are. No views, no opinion, no conditioning. You see truth. You see things as they are. You see the reality within the moment. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. You're aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Then all the movement, the transformation, whatever that happened, you will develop understanding. Then you will come to understand clearly that you have another nature within. Then you start to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this thinking mind or mundane mind all about, why the Buddha called it dependent originating, condition arising. Hence it has the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. You will see them clearly. Then there is another nature behind all this arising. Before the stirring of the mind, before the arising of thought, before the manifestation of the aggregates of mind, there is that nature which is just aware. Nothing else inside there. The awareness nature is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is the nature that can meditate and understand. So develop that, stabilize that, and use that to meditate. Okay? Uru viva kasapa, gaya kasapa, nadi kasapa. Previously, there was the three great kasapa, and now we have Uruviva Kasapa, Uruviva, name means papaya grove, as it is said that he likes to cultivate in the papaya grove. Gaya's name means city, and Nadi name means river. The three brothers had all been fire worshippers before they took refuge with Buddha, believing that fire was the most powerful of spiritual forces and the mother of all creation. They worship it with slavish devotion, bowing and making offerings to it. Wasn't that a bit deluded, Master Shenhua mentioned. As meaningless as it may have been, they continued to do so until they met up with Shakyamuni Buddha. Then there is the Shariputta, foremost in wisdom, the chief disciple of Shakyamuni Buddha. Probably everybody remembers who Shariputta was. There is a special story about Shariputta, which makes him hard to forget. Shariputta's mother often used to debate with her younger brother, Maha Kaustila, and she lost every time. Strangely enough, when she became conceived of pregnant with Shariputta, she began winning all the debates. Maha Kaustila figured that the child in his elder sister's womb was surely a wise one and was helping his mother argumenting her eloquence and intelligence. I had better get some rhetorical skills, he thought, otherwise I will be defeated by my own little nephew, which would truly be graceful. So he went to southern India to study. He was so industrious or hardworking that he studied night and day and didn't take time to cut his hair, shave his beard, or even cut his fingernails. They grew to several inches in length, and everybody calls him the long nail Brahmo. He didn't deliberately let them grow, as do the long hair bearded one of today, who had dropped out of school. He was simply too busy to attend to his grooming. A model student, he labored day and night to the exclusion of all other activities. When he had mastered the Indian books of medicine, divination, physiognomy, and astrology, as well as literature and debating skill, he returned and asked his sister, "Where is my nephew?" "He has left home under the Buddha," she replied. Kaustila was outraged. "My nephew began preaching when he was 8 years old and has astonished the entire country by out-debating several hundred philosophers. How could such an intelligent child live the home life under a mere shramana? It's pathetic." Arrogant and upset, he went to see the Buddha. "I will have to see what special trick the shramana has that he managed to fool my brilliant nephew into becoming his disciple. When he met the Buddha, no matter how he tried to counter him, he failed. He had studied for so many years, not even bothering to cut his nails in preparation for his debate with his nephew. Who would have guessed it would all have come to nothing? His nephew had left home under the Buddha, and he himself had no idea what branch of his learning to use against the Buddha. He finally decided to set forth his doctrine. "What is your doctrine?" the Buddha asked him. "I take non-accepting as my doctrine," Kaustila replied. "No matter what you say, I won't accept it, because I take non-accepting as my principle. Let's see what you can do with that. Speak up." "Fine," said the Buddha. "You take non-accepting as your doctrine. But let me ask you, do you or do you not accept your views of non-accepting?" "What a question." If he answered that he accepts his view in accepting it, he would be contradicting his own views of non-accepting. On the other hand, if he say that he did not accept his own view, he wouldn't have any doctrine at all. And how could he take non-accepting as his doctrine? If he accept it, he would contradict himself. If he refused it, he won't have a doctrine at all. He didn't have a leg to stand on. He was like a rootless tree. To make matter worse, before he began, he had made a bet with the Buddha, saying, "If I win the debate, then my nephew comes home with me. If I lose, I will cut off my head and give it to you." Now, scared to lose his head, he had no recourse but to run. When he had run about 5 miles, he stopped and thought, "I'm a man after all. How can I go back on my own words? I agreed to cut off my head if I lost. How can I run like a coward?" He decided to return, cut off his head, and consider the matter closed. When he arrived, he asked the Buddha for a knife, and the Buddha said, "What do you want it for?" "I agree to cut off my head if I lost the debate," said Kaustila. "And so now I owe you my head, isn't that correct?" "There is no such Dhamma within my Buddha Dhamma," said the Buddha. "You lost, so let's just forget it. What's the use of cutting off your head?" The Buddha then spoke the Dhamma to him, and he obtained the purification of the Dhamma eye. When his Dhamma eye opened, he realized the marvelous, unfathomable profundity of the Buddha Dhamma. "I spent all that time learning non-Buddhist teaching. They are not even 10,000 part as good as the Buddha Dhamma," he said, and he left home under the Buddha. So not only did he not regain his nephew, he joined the Buddha Sangha himself. Shariputta's name is Sanskrit. It means egret son, body son, and pole son. Sari means egret because his mother's eyes were as beautiful as an egret. Putra means son. Shariputta means pole son because his mother's eyes were like poles. Another explanation for Shariputta's name is body son because he was born from his mother's body. Shariputta was the foremost of the hero disciple, sound hearer in wisdom. He wasn't exactly number two when it came to spiritual power either. His spiritual power was also great. There was once Mahamoggallana decided to compare his spiritual power with Shariputta's. Shakyamuni Buddha had gone elsewhere to speak the Dhamma. when he did this, his disciple also went along to hear the Dhamma too, because they didn't have any tape recorders in those days. And if they missed a lecture, they couldn't make it up. This time Sariputta had entered Samadhi. Moggallana came to him, but he wouldn't come out of the Samadhi. "All right," said Moggallana, "I will use my spiritual power to snap you out of it." And he applied every ounce of spiritual power he had to get Sariputta to come out of Samadhi, but he couldn't budge, even so much as the corner of Sariputta's robe. "How great would you say Sariputta's spiritual power were?" Mahamoggallana was generally realized as foremost in spiritual power, but he lost to Sariputta. And this proved that Sariputta's spiritual power were even greater than his. Then we move on to great Moggallana, yes, the next chief disciple of the Buddha. Mahamoggallana's name is Sanskrit and means tunic root or clanks of beans, gathers. This is because his ancestor cultivated an Indian ascetic practice of eating only foods that grow while in the forest and never eat food that had been planted or harvested. His personal name is Kolita or Jujube tree, because his parents prayed to a local tree spirit in seeking to have a son, just as Mahakashyapa's parents had done. In this case, Moggallana's parents consulted the spirit of the Kolita tree and named his son Kolita in honor of the spirit. Moggallana's mother may have consulted spirit, but she didn't believe in the Buddha, the Dhamma, or the Sangha. She slandered the Triple Gem and spoke ill of it because of this heavy karmic offense. At death, she fell into avijja hell. When Moggallana attained the fruit of arahantship and gained the 5 eyes and the 6 spiritual penetration, he took a look at the entire world and finally located his mother in hell, seeing her suffering and starving. He took her a bowl of food. Her greedy nature had accomplished her from the human realm to the realm of hungry ghosts. And so she immediately covered the bowl with one hand, hid it beneath her sleeve, and ran off to eat it in secret, fearing the other ghosts might grab it away from her. But because of her coming obstacle was so heavy, the delicious food turned into fire in her mouth. Although Moggallana was foremost in spiritual power, he had no mantra or method to free his mother. Completely at a loss, he went to ask the Buddha for advice. The talent this disciple had developed were useless in this situation. He returned to Jeta Grove and asked Sakyamuni Buddha to be compassionate and save his mother. Sakyamuni Buddha said, "Your mother's karmic offense was created through slandering the Triple Gem. You alone do not have the power to save her. If you want to help her, you should set up a Ulambana offering." This one is the historical reason why people nowadays celebrate this Ulambana offering. An offering for liberating those hanging upside down on the 15th day of the 7th lunar month, which is the day of the Buddha's rejoicing as well as the last day of the Sangha's annual rains retreat. On that day, offerings should be made to the Sangha of the 10th direction, making sure you do not taste the food until it has been offered to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. You make offering to the Triple Gem on that day, your mother will leave suffering and attain happiness. Moggallana set out the Ulambana festival according to the Buddha's instruction. Ever since then, every year on that day, The ceremony is observed in all monasteries and temples to save parents and relatives from death, life and from seven life paths. You may say, but my parents had died. Oh, sorry, haven't died. You can save your parents from seven life paths, and your present parent will also gain an increase in blessing and long life. Mahamangalana's spiritual power was extraordinarily great. Once, when Sakyamuni was on his way to the Pavatinsa heaven to speak the Dhamma, he passed by Mount Sumeru. On the way, he met a poisonous dragon. They were jealous of the Buddha. Does a Shramana like you really think you can speak the Dhamma in the heavens? He said, I won't permit it. And he spit out poisonous sand to try to kill the Buddha. But Mangalana used his spiritual penetration and turned the poisonous sand into soft, harmless cotton. The dragon then manifests a huge body that wound around Mount Sumeru three times. Now Mount Sumeru is very large. Our four continents, in fact, are on its four sides. Mangalana also manifests a huge body larger than the dragons, which coil itself around Mount Sumeru nine times. But the dragon still would not admit defeat. Mangalana then transformed himself into a tiny buck. He bore his way through the dragon's intestine and beat them until the dragon was in so much pain that he finally surrendered and took refuge with the Buddha. And so Mangalana's spiritual penetration was extremely great. Mahamangalana is Earth Star Bodhisattva. Oh, Kistigaba Bodhisattva. Oh. He couldn't bear to see his mother suffering in the hell. He also couldn't bear to see anyone else mother suffering. He was Earth Star Bodhisattva who appeared as Mahamangalana in order to rescue beings from the hells. Oh, I also didn't know. This is the first time I read about it. So, Mahamangalana, foremost in psyche, was a great bodhisattva. He was in fact a star bodhisattva. But when Sakyamuni became the Sammasambuddha, because of karmic affinity, he was born as the chief disciple of Sakyamuni, foremost in spiritual power. And because his mother slandered the Triple Gem, that's why he had this determination to go down to hell to save the mother and at the same time save all beings. That's why the vow that he took was very heavy. Unless the hell is empty of all suffering beings, he vowed not to attain the perfect enlightenment to be Sammasambuddha. Means he chose his own vow to obstruct his realization of Sammasambuddhahood so that he can stay there to continuously liberate the hell beings. In fact, if you look back at the Jataka story, a lot of these great beings, sometimes they came and allow themselves to be the child of certain type of mother, is because they want to help them, save them, because of previous affinity. So not only Mahamangalana's mother was such. In fact, Sariputta's mother also got a problem. She liked to eat this, we call it a fish fry or whatever. Yeah, every time you eat, you kill a lot of lives. So because of that, the mother also has similar karmic thing. So later on, as you study more and more the Jataka story, you will see all the different disciples. They come in very different manner and way. Yeah? Some because of love and compassion to save beings that has affinity with them, no matter how heavy their coming offense is. They feel that if they become their child, they can do something. For my nature, I was slightly different. I chose being to be my parent because of affinity and condition. And most of these beings who has the affinity and condition, they have good nature. Otherwise, they cannot meet me, my nature. So this, everyone is different. Okay, we go to the third one. Mahakayana. Kayayana. Maha here means great. Kayayana means literary elegance. Because this Venerable One spoke and wrote with great elegance and refinement. His name is also interpreted as Tassels on the fan, because his father died shortly after he was born, and his mother wanted to remarry, but the child Kayayana tied her up by a tassel on the fan, which prevented her from doing so. Kayayana's name is also interpreted as nine shoulders, because his shoulders were well formed and good looking, and as victorious thinker, because he could outthink everyone else. Kayayana, a skilled exponent of the Dhamma, was foremost among the Buddha's disciples in debate. No matter what point anyone tried to make, he could come up with a host of reason and argument to counter it. Once he met a non-Buddhist who held to the view of annihilationism. That is, he did not believe in rebirth, but believed that after death, there is nothing at all. He confronted Kayayana with his position, saying, Buddhists believe that after death, there is rebirth. I do not hold to that doctrine, and I can prove that it is false. If there is rebirth and beings are destined to suffer in future incarnation, then why has not even one of them ever returned to tell of his torment? This proves that there is no rebirth. When people die, it's all over, like a lamp that has been blown out. Kayana said, suppose a criminal were arrested, trialed and given a jail sentence. Will he be free to return home? If you are saying that people after death are like criminals in jail, that may be the case for those in the hell, said the annihilationist. But what about those born in the heaven? Not one have ever returned to talk about it. Beings in the hell may have no freedom, but certainly heavenly beings should be free to come back and tell us or give us a brief report. Kayana said, that's a very reasonable question. However, people born in heaven are like beings who have climbed out of the toilet and been washed clean. They wouldn't be likely to want to jump back into the toilet, would they? The annihilationist had nothing to say. Besides, Kayayana continued. One day and one night in, for example, in the the heavens of 33 gods, Tawatimsa heaven is equivalent to 100 years on the human realm. Born there, it would take several days to get settled. By the time they thought to return, several hundred years would have passed in the human realm. You have long been dead, and your bones turned to dust. How would you know they had returned? The analyst was speechless. Each of the Buddha's 10 disciples possessed a quality whereby he excelled the others. Mahakayana, the foremost in debate, was articulate, eloquent, and unbeatable. Then the next one is Anuruddha, foremost in divine eye. The venerable Anuruddha's name means never poor, because in limitless aeons past, he made an offering to a Pacheka Buddha. At the time he made the offering, he did not know the mendicant was a Pacheka Buddha. The Pacheka Buddha who lived in the mountain had vowed to come down and beg only once every 7 days at only 7 houses. If he obtained no food, he would simply return and go hungry for another week. On this particular round, having obtained no food, he was returning, carrying his empty bowl, anticipating another week of hunger. Anuruddha knew this and was pained at heart. Times were hard and famine was rampant. Family had trouble supporting themselves and had nothing left over to give to those who had left home. Anuruddha, a poor farmer who scraped his living out of the soil, ate the very coarsest, cheapest kind of unhusked rice, which he carried to the field with him each day. When he saw the bhikkhu, he said, "That a cultivator such as yourself should have to undergo starvation is too pitiful. Wouldn't you accept my offering of coarse rice? If it's not unacceptable, you may have it. If you wish to give it, I will accept it," said the Pacheka Buddha. "But what will you eat?" "I can skip lunch today," said Anuruddha. "It doesn't matter." When the Pacheka Buddha had finished eating, he revealed the spiritual power by manifesting the 18 miraculous changes, which include things like emitting water from the upper part of the body and fire from the lower part, and emitting water from the lower part of one's body and fire from the upper part, and ascending into space, things which Arahats, Pacheka Buddha, can do, but which ordinary people find most unusual. After that, he said, "I accepted your offering, and from now on, in every life, you will never again be poor." Then he left. Anuruddha continued to work in the field when a rabbit came hopping along. Strangely enough, he jumped and freaked around and around Anuruddha as tamely as a horse, dog, and cat. "Don't bother me," Anuruddha finally said. "I'm working and I don't have time to play with you." Then the rabbit jumped up onto Anuruddha's back. No matter how hard Anuruddha tried to brush it off, he won't budge. It was as if he had grown roots right into Anuruddha's shoulder. Anuruddha continued working, but he was getting worried. What's going to become of this rabbit on my back? He wondered. As poor as he was, he still had a wife. When he returned home that evening, he asked the wife to knock the rabbit off his back. As she did so, the rabbit died and turned into gold. Anuruddha broke off his front leg and exchanged it for a large sum of cash. To his surprise, the front leg grew back again. The same thing happened whenever he broke off one of the back legs. He had struck it rich. No one knew how much he was worth, because he could always break off a part of the golden rabbit. Not only was he a rich man in that line, but throughout 91 aeons, he remained consistently wealthy and honored, earning his name of never poor. When he made the offering, he did not know the bhikkhu was a Pacheka Buddha, who would, after accepting the offering, transfer marriage to him. This is how Anuruddha received the retribution of never being poor. Anuruddha, the Buddha's first cousin, liked best to sleep. In fact, every time the Buddha lectured on the Dhamma, Anuruddha would doze off with his head resting on the table, snoring like thunder. Once the Buddha scolded him, saying, "Hey, hey, how can you sleep like an oyster or a clam? Sleep for 1,000 years, but you will never hear the Buddha's name." After the reprimand, in a burst of vigor, Anuruddha decided never to sleep again, but to truly dedicate himself to study the Buddha Dhamma. He went for 7 days and 7 nights without sleep, and as a result, he went blind. Shakyamuni Buddha, knowing that he had gone blind because of his great vigor in studying the Buddha Dhamma, took pity on his little cousin and taught him the Vajra Bright Illumination Samadhi. Thereafter, Anuruddha cultivated according to Dhamma and obtained the penetration of the heavenly eyes. In fact, his heavenly eye, or did some call it the divine eye, covered half of his head, enabled him to view the world system of 3,000 great thousand worlds, just as we would regard an amala fruit or an apple in our hand. Thus, Anuruddha was foremost in possessing the divine eye, or here they call it the heavenly eye. Then the next disciple is Kapina. Kapina name means house constellation, because when Kapina's parents had reached the age of 40 or 50, they still had no son. Going to a temple, they prayed to one of the 28 constellations. The 28th constellation in Chinese was Jue Kang. Wow, this one very long. Jue Kang Di Fang Xing Wei Ji Tuo Nui Nu Xu Wei Xu Bi Ku Lo Wei Mao Bi Zi Ken Qing Gui Lui Xing Zhang Yi Zheng. Kapina's parents prayed to the fourth constellation, Fang, or house, whose corresponding element is the sun, and whose associated animal is the hare. They received a response and have a son. So that was the disciple Kapina. Then Gavampati, the venerable Gavampati's name is Kaukab or Kauking, because when he was finished eating, he continued to smack his lips like a cow chewing his cud. When cows are done eating, they go to sleep, but they continue to munch on their cob. Because of this habit, Shakyamuni Buddha was afraid that people would ridicule him and consequently fell. So he sent Gavampati to the heavens to receive offerings from the god. Why did he have this habit? It was a retribution, karmic retribution, for having created evil karma with his mouth by one sentence of slander. Long ago in limitless age past, he met an elderly Pachika Buddha who had lost his teeth and chewed his food very slowly. "Oh master," said Gavampati, "you sound like a cow chewing his cud." The Pachika Buddha said, "The retribution you will incur for having slandered me will be extremely grave. Hurry and repent." Gavampati, who was a shamanera at that time, ridiculed the master, saying, "Repent for what? Why should I beg for forgiveness?" As a result of his slander, for 500 lifetimes, he was reborn as a cow. When he finally became a human again, his cow habit remained. And when he was done eating, he still worked his jaw like a cow. Such was the retribution for slandering a Pacheka Buddha. From this, we should take special care in every movement and words not to casually slander or berate others. Watch yourself. Then the next one is Revata. Revata's name means constellation. Yet his parents also pray to the constellation for their son's birth. It also means false unity because he was poor and had no place to live. One night he stayed in an old abandoned shack. That night two ghosts came, a big one and a little one. The big one was 20 feet tall and the small one was 2 feet tall. They were as grotesque as could be, with green face, red hair, huge mouths, pointed fangs, and facial features that were all scrunched up together. They came in dragging a cob and asked him, "Shall we eat this cob or not?" What they mean was, if you tell us to eat the cob, we will eat you. If you tell us not to eat the cob, we won't have anything to eat, and so we will have to eat you. They were obviously going to eat him no matter what he said. So he didn't say anything. The big ghost ripped off the cob's leg, and the little ghost ripped off Revata's leg and stuck them on the cob's. Then the ghost ate the cob's leg, and the little ghost ripped off Revata's arm and stuck them in the cob's. The big ghost ate the entire cob's, and the little ghost replaced its part one by one with parts of Revata's body. Revata panicked. "My body has been used to repair the corpse, and so now I don't have a body." The next day, he ran frantically through town, asking everyone he met, "Did I have a body? Please tell me." "What?" they said. They had no idea what he meant and supposed that he was insane. Then he met some high master, Shamanan, he asked, "Do I have a body?" Among the high master was a certified Arahant who knew that Revata has the potential to live the home life. "Your body is fundamentally false," he said. "If you cultivate and certify to the fruition of sagehood and obtain the bright light of your own nature, that is true. What difference then would it make whether or not you have a body?" "If that is the case," said Revata, "then I shall leave the home life and follow you." After he left home, he became enlightened. Although he had been eaten by ghosts, he saw that his body was basically false. Therefore, he took the name False Unity, Revata. Okay, we try to finish one more. Pilan Davasa. The venerable's name means leftover habits, refer to habits of many ages and many lifetimes which he had gotten rid of. Once he wished to cross the river because he had certified the fruit of Arahantship and had spiritual penetration. He could demand that the river spirit stop the current, so he could walk across. To the river spirit, who was female, he said, "Little slaves, stop the current." Because he was an Arahant, the river spirit had to comply, although she did not say anything. She was extremely displeased. This happened repeatedly until finally the river spirit complained to the Buddha. "Your disciple, Pilindavasa," she said, "hasn't the least bit of respect for me. He came to a river and said, 'Little slave, stop the current.' He's entirely too rude." The Buddha said, "When he returns, I will have him apologize to you." When Pilindavasa arrived, the Buddha said, "When you were crossing the Ganges, why did you say, 'Little slave, stop the current'? You really shouldn't have done that. Now you had better hurry up and apologize to her. Belindavatsa immediately went to the river spirit with his palm joined and laughingly said, "Little slave, don't take offense. I have been instructed to apologize for having called you little slave." But in apologizing, he also addressed her that way. Nevertheless, to say she was furious, see that she was. He stand right here in front of the Buddha and call me little slave again. "You didn't know this," said the Buddha. "But 500 lifetime ago, you were Belindava's servant. And at that time, you called him little slave when he gave you orders. Although you are now a river spirit, his habit has never changed, has not changed. And because of your previous master-servant relationship, he still calls you little slave." Hearing the Buddha's word, the river spirit knew there was nothing she could do because of such ingrained habits from the past. He was called leftover habits, Belindavasa. Okay, we will stop here, page 194. Vakula was the next disciple. The Venerable One's name means good, bearing. In the past, throughout limitless kappa, he exclusively cultivated the precepts against killing. His cultivation of that precept was not like that of us ordinary people at all. His mind did not even give rise to the thought of killing. Not only did he not kill outwardly, inwardly, he was spotlessly clean, in that he never killed a single living being or single living creature. Because of this, he received 5 kinds of rewards for non-dying. When he was born, he was able to speak. He smiled and laughed and said, "Mama and Papa," and was very playful. His mother thought, "What on earth? I have never heard of a child who could speak and joke at birth. He must be a monster." Since she was rather cruel and not compassionate, she put him in a frying pan and tried to fry him. But he wouldn't fry. It was as if nothing were happening. The pan was straight hot, but Vakula was just as happy. "All right," she said, "you may be fireproof, but you're certainly not waterproof." And she tossed him into a pot of rapidly boiling water, but he still didn't die. Then she tried to drown him by holding him underwater, but he couldn't be drowned. So, do you think this is strange or not? She left him in the ocean and he was dropped down by a fish and he went right into the fish stomach, escaping the fish teeth. Just then, strangely enough, the fish was caught in a fisherman's net and the fisherman cut the fish open with a knife. Vakula was not harmed by the knife either and jumped right out of the fish belly. Thus, he received the 5 kinds of rewards of non-dying. The fire didn't burn him, water did not boil him, the ocean didn't drown him, the fish didn't chop him to death, and the fisherman's knife didn't cut him. He received these 5 as a response from his observance of the precept against killing, and among the Buddha's disciples, he was the foremost in longevity. So you look at all these disciples with all the weird coming behind, you will start to understand how come even great disciple of Sakyamuni Buddha at the top 10 can also have this type of karma. In fact, this is very common. Even according to Theravada Jataka story, Mahamangalana also in one of the lives, he actually murdered or killed his own parent That's why, because of that retribution, karmic retribution, when he was an arahant in that life, despite his psychic ability, foremost in psychic, he couldn't escape the terrible death. He was hobbled, murdered, and I think they smashed him up. He escaped for 6 occasions because his psychic ability helped him. Then he checked, he realized that coming. That's why on the 7th time, he didn't do anything, he just let it happen. Then they thought he died. But because his ability, the psychic and all those things, he was able to gather his badly smashed and broken physical body and use his psychic to actually appear before the Buddha, Sakyamuni, and told him, I have to leave you. That's how he died. So all these shows, coming, you cannot play a fool. We never know what type of coming we committed before we have the Dhamma. So all this is like something that we as cultivator can learn. We cannot take things for granted. That's why karma is very important. We have to take care of karma. It's very dangerous to commit any karmic negativity. That's why the advice of the Buddha is sabba papasa akaranam. Sabba is all, papasa is evil. All evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil. So this is something we can develop from this type of sharing. The next one is Maha Kostila. The Venerable Kostila name means big knee. Yes, big knee were a family trait. The Venerable One was Sariputta's maternal uncle. As previously related, he made a bet with the Buddha that if he lost in debate, he would cut off his head. He was a gifted and eloquent debater. He was one of Buddha's constant follower and the foremost disciple noted for eloquence. Then there is Nanda. There are 3 disciples with the name of Nanda. Nanda, we have Nanda, Ananda, and Sundarananda. Nanda is known as Nanda of the cowherd because he watched cows when he was a lad. Nanda's name means wholesome bliss. Sundarananda was named after his wife Sundari. Sundari means good and loving. Whom did she love? Nanda, Sundananda. Her name also means attractive because she was absolutely stunning. It could be said that she was the most beautiful woman in all of India. Sundananda was so beguiled by her beauty that he never left her side. It was as if they were magnetized or glued together. Walking, standing, sitting, and reclining, they were inseparable couple. Sakyamuni Buddha wanted him to leave home. Sundarananda was the Buddha's younger brother. When the Buddha saw that Sundarananda's affinity and his level of planting causes were mature enough that he could leave home, he also knew that Sundarananda couldn't give up his wife to do it. Thus, the Buddha decided to apply an expedient measure. One day when Sundarananda and his wife were eating lunch, the Buddha went to the palace to beg for alms. When Sundarananda saw his elder brother, he wanted to offer him some food, but the Buddha said, "Take it to the Jeta Grove." "How can I do that?" said Sundarananda. "How can I leave my wife home alone?" He didn't dare go against his brother's order. So he asked his wife. The Buddha said, "I should take the food to the Jeta Grove. Is it all right if I go?" "Yes, on one condition," she said. I'm going to spit on the floor. You must return before that spit is dry. Otherwise, you needn't bother coming in the door because I won't let you in. All right, said Sundara Nanda, thinking he would easily make it back in time. But when he arrived, the Buddha wouldn't let him go. He ordered him to shave his head and leave home. Sundara Nanda spent all day trying to figure out a way to sneak back home to see his wife, where he simply couldn't let her go. One day, all of the bhikkhu went out to beg, and Sakyamuni Buddha told Sundara Nanda, stay here today and wash the dog. You are not going anywhere today, sweeping the floor and cleaning the place up. We are going out to beg. Actually, should not be back, for Armstrong. And we will bring back some food for you. Sundara Nanda was ecstatic. Finally, a chance to escape, he thought. He planned to sweep the floor, wash the window, and run. Strangely enough, as soon as he got one end of the hall sweep, dirt would collect on the other side. He swept all morning until he was perspiring with exhaustion, but he still couldn't get the floor clean. As soon as he closed one window, another one would blow open, and the sweeping would fly around the room. Then when he shut that window, yet another one would open, fly open. He was getting more and more frustrated the later he got. The morning was slipping away. The Buddha would return soon, and he would have missed his chance. Finally, in desperation, he ran. He knew if he met the Buddha, he would have to return to Chittagrove. He also knew that the Buddha always traveled by the main road. And so he took a side road. And whom do you think he ran into? The Buddha. He was returning from his arms round. Sundara Nanda jumped behind a big tree. And as he backed around the tree, the Buddha followed him. He would reverse his direction and the Buddha would do as well. Finally, they meet face to face and the Buddha said, what are you doing? I waited for you till I couldn't wait anymore, said Sundara Nanda. I decided to come and escort you back to Chittagrove. Good, said the Buddha. Let's go back. Since he had no choice, he returned with the Buddha, and after he ate the lunch, the Buddha asked him, would you like to go out sightseeing with me today? I will take you out to play. Sundara Nanda thought, I don't have the heart to go play. I'm only concerned with running home. I really didn't have that spirit or mood. But if the Buddha wants me to go, I can't refuse. And he forced himself. They went into a mountain where there was a lot of monkey, and the Buddha asked him, tell me, which is more beautiful, Sundari or this monkey? Why, of course, my wife is more beautiful. How can you compare with this ugly monkey? What an insult. The Buddha said, you are truly intelligent. You can tell the good from the bad. Now let's return. But now Sundari Nanda was obsessed with thought of his wife. Several days passed and no opportunity to run away presented itself. The Buddha said to him, you seem so depressed every day. I couldn't imagine what's on your mind. Let me take you to the heaven for a look around. I wonder what the heaven was like, thought Sundara Nanda. They ascended into the heaven and they saw a lovely heavenly palace filled with exquisite heavenly maidens. The Buddha said, what do you think? What do you say is more beautiful, the maiden or Sundari? The heavenly maiden said, Sundara Nanda, compared to these goddesses, Sundari look like a monkey. There's no comparison. As they went on their way, Sundara Nanda lagged behind and stole a word with one of them. Who is your master? He asked. Our master is the Buddha's little brother, Sundara Nanda. He has left home under the Buddha. and cultivate the way. Next life, he will be reborn in heaven, and we are to be his attendant. Delighted at the prospect, Sundarananda resolved to cultivate, forgetting all about Sundari and thinking only of goddesses. He cultivated to be reborn in the heaven. And when he had cultivated for a long time, the Buddha, seeing that he was no longer thinking of Sundari, but only the maidens, thought, I think I will show you something unusual. Sundarananda said, you have been to the heavens, but you have never seen the hell. Would you like to accompany me there? Since the Buddha thought that the hell was most unpleasant, Sundarananda wondered that what would be the use of going there, but agreed to go and take a look. He followed the Buddha there. They saw the hell of the mountains of knives and hell of salt trees and hell of boiling oil and the hell of fire soup, all the hells. In one of the hell, he saw a pot of oil that was barely simmering. Two ghosts who were supposedly tending it were nodding off, and the fire was on the verge of going out. One of the ghosts, in fact, was even lying down, sound asleep. Two truly lazy ghosts neglecting the pot for their nap. Sundarananda asked, hey, old friend, who is your boss? How can you always get away with sleeping on the job? The ghost yawned and rubbed his eye. What's that you say? He replied. I say, I want to know. Why are you loafing on the job? Loafing on the job, Sundarananda said. Pots of oil have to boil, you know. What do you know? Asked the ghost. The person destined to undergo punishment in this pot isn't due here for a long time. What do you mean? Says Sundarananda. The Buddha's little brother, Sundarananda, has already left home under the Buddha. He cultivated the blessing of the heaven, and in the future, he will be reborn there. When he has used up his heavenly bliss or blessing, the five signs of decay will manifest. He will then fall into the hell to be born in this very pot of oil. Because he did not cultivate the way properly, he still got several hundred years. However, so why should we busy ourselves boiling the oil now? Our jaws are quite sore. We can sleep all day if we like. When he heard this, Sundarananda's entire body broke out in a cold sweat. That pot intended for me, he moaned. What am I going to do? The Buddha took Sundarananda back to the Jeta Grove and spoke to him, of the Dhamma doll that born in the heavens is bound up with suffering, emptiness, impermanence, and the lack of self. He cultivated the Buddha Dhamma and certified the fruit of arahantship. Sundarananda was hopelessly in love with his wife, and yet he fell out of love as soon as he saw a woman more beautiful than her. Then because he saw the suffering in the hell, he decided truly to cultivate the way, something he never would have done otherwise. The name Nanda also means bliss, but this Nanda is different from the one discussed previously. He took his name from his wife Sundari, because he was Sundari's Nanda. Okay, we stop here. Okay, we are now open up for meditation reporting.
Right, you.
You're supposed to share. Yeah.
Right, you. I share 我最近cultivations and 我想要你的guidance 跟 advice 有一天早上我在 meditate 的时候，哇，那个早上的那个 mind 哦，我一坐下去的时候，它哇很 chattering 啊，哇，一直在很 heavy， 一直在 chattering， 然后我就只是 aware。At the same time, like, 我也很像看到 like, 那个满地麦很想要做一些、哦、 很像想要 react 这样子 but 又不懂要怎样做、
yeah.
哦、那我只是 aware 哇那个麦一直不断的 at the end、哦、就有一个、at the end 就有一个 sender 就讲 accept the reality
嗯、
哦、so 诶整个就就停下来
嗯、
哦、这个就是那个早上的 meditation 的过后过后few days later 就回到了office 哦、天早上就哇就 suddenly 有一个顾客打电话来in fact 他 one month ago 我已经 advise 他because of 他的 director 的 matter 我已经 advise 他了 but 他那一天 early in the morning 又打来电话他一直跟我、一直跟我讲他的 problems 那个 director 的 problems but that one is 不是我可以 handle 的因为我已经 advise 他了、but 一直 keep on、哇一直在电话里面一直 nonstop讲他的 problems 一直跟我讲一直 non-stop 然后我的那个里面、哦、就有那个不爽的那个 sensation 就 arise 我就静静一直听他讲 then, 他讲了很久了以后然后就 stop 掉了就 end 了那个 sensation 把这个不爽的那个 sensation 就 last for 3 hours until
哇这么久啊
对所以我就一直在 observe 一直去 observe 哇他就 until the lunch hour then after that few days later evening times 又 another customer 又来 call 我 then customer 就他是because of 我们的 billing 的 presentation 我们有我们的 presentation 我们有改过 then this customer 他就拿以前的 billing 来做comparison 他讲为什么我们他发现到那个 fees increase 了 but 我跟他讲 no 是因为我们的 disbursement 跟那个 fees 啊我们的 adjustment 我们的 total 还是一样 but 这个 customer 就一直 arguing 一直很不爽一直 arguing 又在一直不断的 arguing 然后我就很 patient 的一直跟他 explain then after 讲完了以后 then 就 end the conversation 过后 about 5 to 10 minutes 他又在打电话回来我可以 feel 到他的不爽他就打来又在 complain、他讲你可以改回那个 invoice 吗就一直不断的哇然后我一直很 patient 的跟他、explain、but 他又一直的 then end up 我就问他你要我怎样做他讲 can you write me an email Then 我们就 end 了那个 conversation.
Yeah.
After 这个 conversation end 了，我在 observe， 哎，我发现到 during 这整个的 conversation， 我的 mind 是很 peace 的。跟天前那个电话，哇，那个angry 是 totally like 两个不一样的。
Yeah.
我就讲，哎，为什么这么样大的那个 difference？我就去 recall 这两个 incidents 我就去看有什么的Dharma 我可以有 understanding 在里面然后我在 recall 的时候我突然间我了解这是一个 condition 这是一个 condition 的一个这个 matter 是一个 conditions 来的然后我就想从这里面我看到的就是trace 那个 origination factor 就是来我听到了他们的 moment 两个 incident 都是听到一个听了以后会 react 不爽一个听了以后还是 peaceful 我想这两个都是一个 condition 的那个在 mundane 的 condition 里面爽跟不爽一个就是我们的 daily 的 go through something 就是很像来我们会 go through 来每一天的 daily up and down 就是有这一些就是一个 conditions 来的
你的 question 是什么你要了解什么
不是我想知道就是我的 understanding 是就是讲这两个是一个 conditions 的 arising 来的
OK
Then, 我想，maybe 我想要知道，Virgil 的
yeah, advice
还有没有比较 further
的 the advice and all those things. OK, 你这一次你要听好了 ，because this one is very important. 你第一个 actually previously you gone through before, like all of a sudden.That mind become like very chattering. You use the word very chattering means it is not in the meditative state. So what happened is for your case, sometimes it could be a type of test to test you. But if you continue not to have the understanding,the stability of understanding, then this test will continue to surface once a while, once a while. That's why you will go through this. Then your old habitual way, which you always want to analyze and always want to like reason and get an answer out of it, that one is still there behind, which you didn't notice.So what you should do is, whenever you want to meditate or relax and maintain awareness, then this mundane mind or mind start to chatter or like restless or whatever, don't worry, just let it be. Let it be. Because the more you want to improve on it or change it to otherwise, means,that craving, that habitual way of doing things. You want to develop understanding. In the name of developing understanding, that is reasoning, analyzing. So don't do anything. Like I said, just let it be. That's why finally you say from inside the answer comes.You use another word, I think, accept the reality. But let things be means what? Condition like that, things be like that. So this understanding has to stabilize. No matter what happened, the reality is, means truth is, within that moment, there are causes and conditions behind.So this so-called chattering mind, or restless mind, or the lack of peace or what, is not the issue. The issue is the understanding. Condition like that, things to be like that. Always remember that. Let things be. Then be with it. Acceptance, silent. Let it return to its original state before the stirring.Just relax, maintain awareness, silent. It will slow down, it will silent, it will still. You have to break free from this. You have to develop stability of understanding so that no matter what happened, you are not affected. That is the wisdom that you need, the stability of it. Just let things be. Always remember what I say, don't do anything.Don't try to know, just silent, maintain awareness. Then use the awareness to understand that whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. And you don't stir, don't react, or don't do anything, your natural state of mind will return. All this movement or stirring or chattering or what,They are dependent originating. They are not your true mind. They are the mundane mind that has its causes and conditions behind to stir and to arise. That's why this stability is very important. Then after you clear this stability, you will pass. After you pass, you realize it will not happen again.But sometimes it will come and test you once a while again. Then if you have the understanding very stable, then you will clear again. Normally, one time or maximum two times, once you clear, you will not come back. Then you know what this thing is. There is nothing to do with the mundane mind. Because you will not go and think and reason and do anything, just let it be. So that is the first advice for you to develop the ability. Yeah, this one has been there for quite a while. So this one is hopefully is the final round of understanding. That's why just now I say you have to listen carefully again. And this time completely free. Then the second part is when it comes to cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, the development of the skillful Noble Eightfold Path factor, your wisdom has to be very stable. Otherwise, it's not easy. Because there are certain what we call habitual tendency that are very strong in the individual, which you find it very difficult to root out. Especially your second sharing about that client who call you and keep on complaining about the other director. Because like you say, you already advised him, and that problem that he brought out is beyond you. It's not something you can do because like we call it the internal affair of that company, the director and him, and honestly, your duty and your scope of your firm is to advise him on certain, I believe in your this case is tax matter and whatever company matter. So as long as you have that clear understanding of your scope, no need to worry. So next time when they call you, don't have to like try to argue or explain or keep on telling them, I already advise you, this is beyond me. Client doesn't like to listen to this type of thing. They like you to have more understanding. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Of course, the four right effort and the right mindfulness, leading to samadhi. So, right view means very likely in the past, there were karmic conditioning because you have been like that before. You created a lot of this type of situation to maybe your tax consultant or whatever. So now you become the victim. You have clients that actually throw this type of problem back to you and this type of questioning back to you. And you find it not easy to endure, like you said, even after the client has decided to like stop the conversation and maybe for the time being like agree not to pursue further, but the emotion, the anger, like you say, remain for 3 hours. That is a bit too long for cultivator. Why should that sankhara stay so long? If you have understood sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, and dhamma anatta, all this will not stay for so long. Yeah, these are all dhammas. Dhamma born of delusion. So when you understand this, you have to accept the reality that is coming. So later on, do what you have to do. Need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, and vow not to repeat all this. Then be more polite, more understanding in your approach, where they are clients. So clients like to listen to nice words. So what you can do is, you straight away tell them, oh, okay, okay. You say, I understand what you are going through. No problem. So I will try and see what I can do. Maybe I will discuss with my boss and I come back to you. Mm. But you must remember, you tell him, then you bring up your point. You first of all, you try to make him feel good first, better first. Then he will not like continuously argue with you and try to pressure you to help him solve the problem. Then you say, based on your experience and understanding, there are other client of cases also quite similar, and some of them are worse than yours. But for us, our advice is more or less the same, like what I advised you previously. But I know that advice is only for our scope. It doesn't help solve your internal problem. So your internal problem is actually something you have to resolve yourself. Or you may look for other legal advice or whatever advice to deal with director's problem or company problem. That one, hope you understand, is beyond our scope. Our scope of advice or consultancy doesn't cover that. Yeah, that is not our expertise. You say in such a way, that person will tone down. Then he will say, oh, okay, 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 thank you for the advice. Then maybe it can be resolved. Otherwise, you keep on like trying to maintain your position and trying to tell him this is beyond our scope, nothing to do with us. The client doesn't like that approach. So Noble Eightfold Path is about right speech, right action, then right thought, leading to resolving issue and matter amicably. So all this need training, need stability or understanding. Where the world is the world, conditioned world has its reality, has its unique, what they call condition behind. So you have to accept them for what they are, then approach them with the Noble Eightfold Path understanding. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path, a lot of cultivators don't understand. You need to have wisdom and understanding to continuously develop understanding to cultivate it. And that one requires a lot of patience, understanding, wisdom, and skillful development of right speech. That's why to speak in a very gentle, pleasant, and nice manner so that your client, people whom you have relationship with, doesn't feel annoyed or get unhappy. So all these are what we call part and parcel of cultivation. Then when it comes to your third incident or sharing, that one you feel that you can handle, you are calm, you are peaceful, because maybe you handle this before and you don't have karmic conditioning from the past that can actually make you become victim, like your second case. So because of that, it become like smooth sailing and quite easy to handle. So that one is also part of your cultivation which you have succeeded. That's why that one does not entangle you and does not break you down and cause your emotion to be there and all this thing. Then always remember like what I say, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, it's the evil roots are there. Use that to check. Then use that to contemplate, to reflect, and tell yourself, in future, when this type of client comes, if it has something to do with your karmic past, if it's something like your karmic debt that you have to like repay or go through, so you do what you have to do. Later on, after you understood, contemplate, and reflected, then you need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. That's why the Bodhisattva vow of cultivation, where I share with you all the way to ask for forgiveness from Triple Gem, from all beings, and to cover whatever that is not covered earlier on. So all these are there. You continuously stabilize it. Then after that, you refine upon your approach by perfecting your Noble Eightfold Path practice to help you resolve issue amicably. So this one needs consistent reflection, contemplation. Then you have to write down how you can develop the gentle, pleasant, and appropriate speeches, and how you can act in such a way your client feels better and he is more like in a better mood to like agree with you and thank you by highlighting to him after all this kind, pleasant, and gentle approach, that he feel good. That's why you have to start, listen, then don't argue, then let him finish. And after that, oh, I understand your problem. I think you are going through a tough time. That's why your director is giving you a lot of problem. Then you can maybe after that tone him down by saying, yeah, understandable. There are many cases like that too. From our clients, right? There are some worse than you are. Then they like to listen to all this. Then you said, maybe I will discuss with my boss and see what he can do to help you. Apart from that, you have to develop the understanding and tell him, I hope you understand our position. Our position is like I have advised you. We have already advised you on our scope. That is our scope. But what you are going through is not within our scope, but you can still solve it by getting certain type of advice from the right people, maybe lawyers or people with experience on company policy or director thing, behavior and all those things. So corporate responsibility and all those things. So you're that type of advice will be very useful, then they will be very helpful. Sometimes they may pretend, oh, I thought your service is inclusive of all this. And then there is the time you can talk to them very nicely. Yeah, too bad it's not covered. otherwise, I would advise you, but we are limited to all this. So all these are skillful ways or means to resolve issue amicably. Then you learn to see things as they are, accept them for what they are, and understand the world is the world. Reality is things is just the way they are, like the Buddha's advice. So all these are the skillful means and understanding that you can develop and help you overcome whatever life problem or situation is. That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. That is the Tao Chang, they call it. The place where you cultivate. So like your what they call mandala. Your way place to cultivate. In fact, to go into life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life is not easy. But with the Dhamma, with wisdom and understanding, it can be done. That's why that part, you have to go deeper into it. Yaxia toi den kung fu means reflect and contemplate and develop more understanding to evolve that understanding. So hopefully with these three advice, you go back and listen again. It will help you. It will help you. Then you can actually modify all this. Sometimes you can develop better solution because you are more experienced in your own field of your scope of career that you are in. Because I'm an engineering graduate, I am not familiar with texting and all those things, but I do know quite a bit of text matter that I have gone through, because personally I also deal with my text consultant, and I also have to check with them what is your scope, what does it cover, what does it not cover. But I don't have like company problem, directorship problem. I seldom have a situation where I got this type of company that I have to deal with director and all those things. No. I can be a shareholder or listed company, but I normally don't deal with all this director. Well, these are board of directors activity and all those things. And in all this, there is a lot of office politics, what we call the corporate level type of politics and all this thing. So they are potential for a lot of misunderstanding, conflict and argument. Like we know in the society's environment, there is a lot of this going on. That's why a lot of listed company, sometimes they had a lot of issue to argue. Sometimes they cannot see eye to eye. The major shareholder wants to remove certain director. And sometimes minority shareholder want to remove the board of director that is running the company. So, but there are company acts and rules that they have to work within. So they have to need the advice of all this, what they call the audit firm and all these big five company that can advise them. And sometimes they need lawyers too to deal with all this. They have to put injunction. They have to find the case, and honestly, it involves a lot of litigation. But for us cultivator, we try to avoid all this unless you happen to be in one of these situation where you work for people or what, and then it's different. You have to maybe develop the understanding to advise people accordingly. Okay, so hopefully this helps.
就那个刚才你的 explanation 我在想到应该是它是一个是一个 comic 来的
comic behind
对那个
但它会给你 like become the victim 你以前弄回家你不知道吗现在有一个顾客来这样弄回去
actually 不是
搞到你很辛苦哦
actually 是一个很Actually 是一个很 basic 的一个case 来的他这个 company 他有四个 director So one of the director 他 admit to the hospital Then 他 suddenly 他的那个 health situation deteriorate 了他整个 ICU So 他的 staff call 我 Then 我就 advise 他 then resign this directorto resign this director 因为以后就会避免很多的那种signing 的 document
but
他的这个 staff 就讲他 他不可以签名了 ，because the hand cannot move 了。然后我就跟他讲 ，maybe 叫他的 husband 带哦，就是讲 ，actually 我有 advise 他了 ，so but 他一直哦 ，this staff 一直讲，哎呀不可以，一直哦，他一直在他的 view 里面一直说。那所以就是那一天早上，就是他又在 repeating， 一直 repeating， 哇哦 ，actually 是一个很 small 的一个 matter， but 那我一听到蹦这么那个里面哦的，
像啊，就好像你刚才讲，你了解到应该是前世因的 coming 来的 ，otherwise 不会受到你这样孤立的。
Then, last for 3 hours，
当然 ，he also come as a test for you because。This is something you have to go through. 因为很多 cultivator, they thought, 他们明白了啊，了解了啊，能够 like overcome 了啊。But suddenly, there is a situation where it completely take you off. So all this, you have to really reflect, contemplate, and develop better understanding. Then do what you have to do, like I said, it is karmic.You need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. Then you vow not to repeat all this. Then after that, you vow to develop better understanding to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve it. Like you say, it's a simple problem, but turn out the client make it like very difficult for you. So very likely, or more than 94% is coming. Otherwise, you won't get entangled.
而且这个 case 哦 ，actually 是发生在早上。Usually 我早上我到了 office 我会做religious routine。等我一 recite 完了那个 Bodhisattva vow 过后哦，这个电话就 immediately 就 ring 了，啊，那就 stir 我了哦。我讲
，Yeah， but whatever it is， 你要了解就是啊 ，the right view、That this form and mind is a vehicle and a tool for us to come, to develop the cultivation, to experience the karmic thing, and to fulfill our vows, and to allow us like a vehicle and a tool to live life, to experience all of the life, whatever that we need to go through. So all these are very important. So you will not get yourself entangled with life.Within life, it has its own duality, its own reality. So the wisdom part is very important. Like the Buddha said, we choose accept everything as natural, conditioned on that things we learn that. So once you have that understanding, you will not try to reason or analyze or justify or try to like be right. So all this is not going to work.Yeah, these are still within the condition world's reality. You will end up in misunderstanding, argument. So you have to resolve it amicably with understanding. 要接受先，接受了就能够 resolve it amicably. Then do what you have to do. Like you say, the right species to come in, accept, listen, then tell him, oh, I understand, I understand. Yeah.In this particular case, if it's beyond your scope, you are not supposed to advise on how they can actually get the director who is in such medical condition to resign that. Unless you are quite clear about it, then you can advise him. But otherwise, I think it's not easy. It's just like a situation where.People about to die already, you ask them to sign things and all things because they are not with the sound mind to do it. And it's not appropriate, all right, to actually get the sick person who is so sick to do all this. So there must be provision in the Company Act for director who are in such situation. Like,If you want to approve certain type of resolution, you don't need all of them, is it? Then maybe if one of them is or unsound mind or what, based on majority vote, you all can vote for a resolution to maybe ask him to resign. I don't know, this is also beyond me, I'm not sure. There could be a way, but it must be something that you are sure. But if it's beyond your scope, just tell them it's beyond your scope. This one, I think, involves auditors and all those things. Those who are good at company law and all those things.
Yeah, 就是这一些剧情的这一些这样的 arise 我一直 that's why 我一直在 repeating 听回你的 去 build up the understanding
yeah 但是我每一次在
advice 里面我又听到了一些就再去要去 stabilize but
you have to stabilize it you have to refine upon it because 那个八正道 is a very I should say very elaborate type of cultivation. You have to go through many conditions, many incidents, and listen to a lot of this cultivator's advice. The people who have gone through, they will know. They will know how to resolve it. First of all, always remember, don't try to do anything. Because even the restless mind or whatever, don't try to do anything like the meditation on that. Let things be, then be with it. Develop the understanding to see how that thing actually returned to its original state before the sankhara activity or stirring. So that one, you should stabilize that. Then it will not be an issue. Then the second and the third one, that one easier to handle, where that one is cultivation of noble eightfold path, which you already have the understanding, but you haven't perfected it, refined upon it. So that one is no issue. That one you just continuously contemplate, reflect, and maybe refine upon the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort, and the understanding to resolve all these things amicably, following the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is a very detailed type of, elaborate type of cultivation which takes time, not so fast. You cannot overnight develop understanding. Yeah, you need to go through many, many of these tests and real life situations to have enough of this experience and exposure. Then you have to learn from other people too. Sometimes when we see how people solve problems, resolve issues in meeting or what, you can learn from them. Yeah, these are skillful means and their approach. Like even Shiji, they use the Jing Shi Yi and all those things to actually let people reflect, contemplate and understand. So these are all the tools that you can use. Okay, so
Sadhu Bharatio, yeah.
Sadhu, 很好。
就是其实我在 contemplate 的这些的时候，我发现到哇，里面还有很多的那个 dharma 很dharma 要需要再去 further 的去 stabilize 那个 understanding。
对，还有。
还有真的要在 daily 里面去 go through 很多的
always remember avoid analyzing and reasoning 没有用的那个来跟人家 argue or what I want to be right 没有用的that one will create more problems that's why the acceptance is very important of the reality 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影 ，no reality. So resolve problem, understand, move, and resolve issue amicably. Don't try to be right. Don't try to reason. Don't try to push your point. No point. 没有。I finally you will understand 没有意义的。 Because this is only the individual's point of view. And if you want to be right or push your point, it will defeat the purpose on you know, the world is the world. People will not listen to all these things. Yeah, people also have their delusion and their ego. So what you need is nice, pleasant, gentle, and good approach or speeches. Then when you act in a sincere manner, that can bring forth the gratitude, the respect, the sincerity, people actually appreciate more. It reflects your understanding, means you are able to understand people, you feel for people. So that one need exposure, need understanding, need wisdom. So all this, you can work on it. Okay, so
Virgin, 你刚才的 explanation, 哇，我听了很多的 joys 啊，因为我觉得 study 是
it will help you
啊，对对，你的 explanation 也 help 我在，因为这三个是不一样的 condition,
不一样的 condition,
对，不一样的 dharma 在里面，
不一样的 dharma, 对，
啊，去 build up the understanding,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
所以
Virgin 是 your wisdom,
谢谢你 ，Virgil。
Okay, no problem. Let us rejoice, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, good. So now 10:33, we have to stop already. Yeah. Gong nè la. Okay, my wife want me to remind you all today is the last session before Chinese New Year.We will break until the 15th, is it? Continue on the 17th of February. But in between, we can have the private type of arrangement to meet out for Chinese New Year or what that one is. Not a problem. You all maybe make the arrangement. So before I finish off with the closing prayer, I would like to make use of this opportunity.To wish everybody Gong Xi Fa Cai and also Happy Chinese coming Chinese New Year celebration. Hope you all can have a good gathering. And the usual wishes, we wish that everybody, all Kayamitas, will haveI should say, not only happy, blessed type of New Year. So some, they want prosperity. So wishing you all a happy, prosperous, and blessed New Year. Blessed with good health, good life, and good condition for you all to cultivate the Dhamma. So that the Triple Gem will be always with you.So that you can develop the ability to perfect yourself so that your good and noble wishes can be fulfilled. So once again, rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. And wish you all a good night and good sleep. And hopefully after this, you all can have a few days.To prepare for your new year, to develop the celebration and other things. So remember the Dhamma, apply them into this new year, so that you can be a blessing to all. Okay, with that, we will end. Sadhu.